Good? Okay, this is the February 13th, 2013 meeting of the KPFT Local Station Board. We are meeting at the Houston Institute for Culture, 708C Telephone Road. The time is now 7:10 p.m. By way of announcement, I got an email from the people at the Institute. Said we left cookies. I'm not sure if we left them out or left them in the trash can, but apparently the next day they had a bunch of ants. So we need to make sure that if we have food that we carry it out and carry out all our paper recyclables. Next item of business is the selection of the Secretary Pro Tem. Richard has volunteered. So, Secretary Pro Tem, would you like to call the roll?
Okay. Teresa Allen.
Present.
Jim Boyd.
Here.
Adriana Castaneda. Maria Elena
Castellano.
Not here yet. Phil Collins.
Here.
Doc Dottery.
I received an email from Doc. He's sick tonight and requests an excuse.
Nancy Hitchell.
Here.
Melinda Eiley Doan.
I received an email from Melinda. She was held at work because people didn't show up for work today. So
Jim Crofton. Hank Lamb.
Here.
Robert Mark.
I'm here.
Colleen O'Brien. Darrell Robbins.
Here.
DeMonica Phoenix.
Here.
Where?
Oh. Here.
Diana McCullough Pollard Sachs.
She will be late.
The young. Dana?
Yeah.
Ingrid Turner?
Where?
Richard Buzell here. Ted Weiskel. Jessica Apollonov.
Where?
Tony Cox?
Say here.
Tony Cox?
Here.
Tony Cox, called in sick today at work. He's got some kind of flu bug. He said he might be 15 minutes late. He's operating as a manager at the station.
How's he spell his last name?
O-E-M.
I like that. Keep it simple. Leo Gold. Leanna Lopez.
Here.
George Ryder.
Leo and Jim Krafka are stuck in traffic. Dwayne said he might be a little bit late. You might want to call Dwayne's name. He gets upset if we forget.
Dwayne Bradley.
He'll be a little bit late. and Jim Krafka is stuck in traffic.
Eddie
He's not heard from Ted or Colleen.
Eddie Garcia is on his way.
Eddie Garcia is no longer a member of this board.
Oh, is he not?
He missed three meetings in a row. Doyle Odom has taken his place. We just didn't
continue. I just saw him.
Was there an email sent out that told him? Does he know that?
He knows he hasn't been here since August.
I don't think he knows that. I don't think he realized that. He said he was going to be here tonight.
Okay, Mr. Chair, you have a forum.
Well,
when did that?
You have a forum. When Bradley. I called your name.
Where did that happen?
That happened when you missed three meetings in a row.
You said last week.
Last month, we didn't get
the
to
ninth,
call
thank
the
you.
Meeting to order because
she answered the question.
But he was, with his absence at the last meeting, removed by rule.
I'd like to make a motion.
He knows he hasn't been here since August.
I'd like to make a motion.
Yes.
To approve those that are absent.
Second.
To approve the three excused?
Yes.
Second.
Okay, there's a second in motion. Is there an objection to excuse the request for excused absence? Has anybody heard from Ted or Colleen? Maria Lynn? Has anybody heard from Maria Lynn? I know last week she was sick. Have not heard from any of those. Like I said, Leo and Jim Kraft are stuck in traffic. So, we have a quorum, Mr. Acting Secretary?
Yes.
Okay, next item on the agenda is approval of the agenda. Are there any motions with respect to the agenda?
It's a chair.
Yeah. Adrienne.
I worry only the... it's not there on the agenda, but I really make a commentary about the situation with the ballot. I mean, that we need to collect that in a better way.
There actually is a matter on the agenda to that effect.
No.
Mr.
Oh,
Lamb has requested, and it should be...
No. I'm talking about the PMB election tonight. Remember?
The PMB election, the one we had last month? What would you like to add to the agenda, by the
way? I mean, wasn't clear, you know, first was missing one ballot, then a second one, then appeal the first one, then somebody grabbed one blank from the table. Even if you didn't change the outcome.
The ballots were numbered. The one left blank on the table was obviously not voted. It was a numbered ballot.
What? When all the ballots, we are falling back.
Okay.
That one.
This is out of order. If you want to add something to the agenda, add it to the agenda, and we can discuss it when we get to it on the agenda. So, right now we're setting the agenda. Any motion with respect to the agenda? Yeah.
Is the discussion on those can take out the website and make those in the general? Is that just a discussion? Or is there a motion there? And if there is a motion, is this old business? Or is
it... Deanna, that's your.
You know, question? I don't remember.
It was about August.
It was from August?
Yeah, it was from there at long.
Where is that?
You know, I don't really remember what this was in reference to, so it's kind of surprising to my name there, but, I mean, we can talk about it. I don't, you know, I know that it might, maybe that...
It was without motion attached, just a request for discussion.
Oh, it was actually put on the agenda sometime?
Yes, it was been on there since August, at least.
You want to withdraw it?
I can withdraw it, I mean, because the KPFC's website's totally redesigned now. There were issues, but I remember it was just the issues with the posting of the minutes, and they were there, and then they weren't there. And so, I mean, I think it's old. I don't think it's worth talking about. There's a new website now.
Okay, I've never asked that the item be removed from the agenda. Is there any objection?
The only one. I remember that we received a mail from Patrick, saying that we have some different opinions about our members. The LFP members there, and the emails meant the listeners can directly send us email. I was thinking that we were referring to that because I think that is important.
Well, if it's from August, though.
Yeah, but it seems not happening now. And Patrick asked, in January?
No, this has been on the agenda since well before. I mean, if you're remembering the changeover on the website, when did that happen, Dwayne?
The website?
When did we change over the website from the old one to the new one?
It happened in the summer through the fall.
At least that old.
Well, I mean, the only thing that I would have a question about is LSB member email, just, you know, having access to be able to email us. But I think Patrick said just... He would do it, so.
No, he said that we need to decide.
Okay.
Could I comment on that? Patrick is a contractor, and so I have told him that his work can't be directed by individual board members, just like individual staff members' jobs can't. So if there's something that the board needs done, it needs to come from the board leadership to me to direct Patrick, because anytime we ask him to do work outside of his contract, then we have to work trade-outs with him for those services.
Okay, I don't want to withdraw it then. Let's talk about it, because I know what you're talking about, and I think it needs to be discussed.
Can anybody direct me to where we are on the agenda? Because
F. It's F.
I can't find the agenda. F on first day. Okay, that's too much crap here.
Yeah, no, I'm, I declined the...
Okay, so you want to leave it there?
Leave it there.
Is there anybody else, any other comment about the agenda?
Oh, that you decided to leave it?
Yeah.
It's not worth trying.
Tell me more people.
Sorry.
Hey, Leo.
Oh, how are
you?
Hey, sorry about that train.
Well, I don't know how that disappeared, because I remember that before it was there. I wasn't a member, but I remember that.
So we'll get to it.
Maybe the discussion on the merits, we're discussing the agenda, right? Is there any other comments, suggestions with respect to the agenda? Do I hear a motion with respect to the agenda?
Motion to approve the agenda is amended.
Is there a second?
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to approve the agenda as written. Is there any objection to the agenda? Hearing none, the agenda is approved.
Who moved that?
Jim Boyd.
Thank you.
Sorry, Jim Boyd moved, and we don't have to name seconds. The record reflects that members O'Brien, Weisgill, Gold have arrived. Craft must have missed the train, been on the 59 craft. Next item on the agenda is the approval of minutes. The minutes have been distributed. Is there any comment with respect to the proposed minutes?
I move that we approve.
Is there a second?
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. We approve the minutes. Any discussion on the minutes? Hearing none. The minutes are approved as written. Richard, no, you're right on me, so you can't leave that. Eddie, it's my regret to inform you, you've missed three meetings. You're no longer a member of this body.
Three meetings.
I don't think we had excuses. You've missed about five or six in a row with excuses.
I don't know.
The record reflects that you've been absent three unexcused absences in a row. You were removed. Doyle Odom has moved up into your position. Correct. Well, we would be happy to provide you with copies of the minutes, but unfortunately I don't have them tonight.
Point of information?
Yes.
There is that rule for the committees of the CNB as well. There's also the rule that you have to notify the person.
Show it to me. Show me the rule in writing.
Let me finish, please.
Okay.
I'm not fooling you about the rule. It is exists for the committees. I'm enforced. I'm not sure whether it exists for the LSPs or not. So I'm asking that as a question.
I don't know, because I don't know what rule you're talking about. I have the rules here.
The rule is before someone is removed, they have to be notified that they're about to be removed.
Can anybody here that made an effort to contact Eddie before the last meeting when he was going to be removed and couldn't get a call back, couldn't get an email back, got emails kicked back, raise their hand? Jessica, didn't you attempt to call him a couple of times?
Sure, I did. Emails.
So, former member Crozier, Jessica Apollinar, and myself got emails kicked back in an attempt to notify him that he had two consecutive absences prior to last meeting.
I don't believe I have two consecutive absences. I was there in almost certain December.
We had two meetings in December.
Diversity.
Yes.
And we had a meeting in January. This would be simple because it ties into what we were talking about of setting the agenda, which is if you were on LSB at kpft.org, you'd be getting noticed. Richard?
I've been on the board in the past about 6.5 years, and several times people missed the meeting and were replaced even without talking about it at the meeting. So there's nothing in the bylaw as far as the that I remember that says notification is required. It just, at that point, you violate the bylaws. And if you missed them, which apparently they have records that you do, then you're out. I've seen that happen multiple times. No notice, just you missed them, you're out.
Anybody else want to discuss this? I don't know what to do. I think it's like, you know, pregnancy. You can't get unpregnant. I mean, the baby was born.
I mean, it's easy enough to look up the record, right?
Okay, that's the record. If you've done this through me, I'm going to discuss this. That's the rule. I just asked that those rules be applied across the board. And there have been debates on other people that have done meetings also the last couple of years. I don't know if they were kicked off. That's all I have. Is that being checked?
You weren't kicked off. You just missed more than the bylaw said. So no, you know, kicked off.
I'd like to make sure
kicked off sounds like the board was punitive towards you, and they weren't punitive towards you. You just missed too many meetings.
I understand that. What I'm saying is, though, is that as long as that rule is applied to everybody.
Oh, I agree.
Can I make a motion that we proceed with the meeting and, you know, prove it later? Because you said you don't have stuff to deal with it right now. You don't have your notes, right?
Well, the minutes are posted if somebody wants to go to their phone, except for the ones we just approved. If somebody wants to deal with it, have at.
Well, I make a motion that we deal with it later so we can move forward with the meeting.
Okay. Next item on the agenda is the Liana Lopez request for discussion of KPFT website and links with LSB member email. And I place this on the agenda at this point because I think that, because obviously Adriana has some questions about this process, and I thought it would be a good thing to discuss so everybody understood how it works and what it does.
Right. Well, basically the thing with the Patrick is he wants to know whether we want to have our emails on the list on KPFT's website so that if people want to contact us, anyone on the board, they can go straight to the website and do it. And he, as Joanne said, we either have to approve it as a group so we can do it or not approve it or whatever, but we should make a vote on it and figure out what we want to do, because I would like to have my name up there so people can contact me if they have questions about the board and what it does, just to be easily accessible.
So if I may point out, the LSB at KPFT.org sends an email to all of us, but each individual member of this board at their option may have a link where people can click and send you an email, but they're not getting your personal email address.
Right.
And so that's what she's talking about, is everybody letting Patrick know that you want to be individually listed on the website as a contact.
The way that I see it is different, because before was always like that and wasn't the webpage. I remember coming here to the public and asking why that wasn't possible anymore. Patrick said that somebody was an issue about that somebody but I don't know if it was the LSB and nobody recalls asking that to be removed from the web page. I don't understand. I mean, who told him, well, take it out? I mean, the LSB made that decision before, because Black, I don't know, was there. I think that everybody remembers.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, our website did change, so maybe that has something to do with it, but I think we should just say whether or not we want to have that again. And I want to say we did.
He asked in January.
Right.
And I answered, and I don't know if the response.
Nancy?
You know, I'd just like to just before I'm closing, and I'm There is a privacy issue. I don't know that that would be particularly significant. But there's also the issue of when you start dividing people out and you go, well, I got lots of these, you know, and I don't know that. What I'm asking for is you guys, please come up with us and go to the time so I can weigh this in on the line. Goodbye.
Okay.
Well, I already get anywhere from, you know, 25 or 30 to 150 emails a week regarding strictly KPFT. I save them all. I read, you know, I go through, I read them, and then I move them to a KPFT file. But,
and is that on your personal account, or is that through the website?
That's on my personal account.
They're not available on the website.
And if they were available on the website, I'd feel like I'd get another 150 a week or another 25 a week. You know, now I don't want to be where the public can't, you know, where members can't get a hold of us. But, you know, if there were a way to restrict it to just members instead of the general public, I'd be happy with that, I guess, you know, to keep from restricting it.
Well, it wouldn't be just members. It would be open to the public.
George? Well, it seems to me we ought to, as I understand it, what's being asked for is, do we give Patrick the authorization for those who want it to have their
emails
put up? Right.
So I think as a board, we say yes, and those who don't want it, just don't do it.
Right. Now. So I.
But then everybody's not getting the same info.
Right. But your choice. And if I think we have to be responsible to our public, the people that want to talk to us, and if they want to talk to me personally, I think that's they should be able to.
Well,
get
I'm
in
responsible
touch with
to them if they're members, if they're just the general listening public.
But that's your choice.
I'm
not trying to exclude them, but they could be members.
They're
excluding themselves.
Adriana, back to you.
I said that before, too. I mean, can you imagine that we represent our listeners for us? If they cannot communicate with us specifically, I mean, I think that they have the right. We can decide, believe, it's up to us. How can we say that our imagine that our candidate at the national level who said, oh no, we don't want to hear it. You vote for me, but then I don't want to hear you anymore. I don't feel comfortable with that.
Jim?
So this doesn't take up any more time, so this doesn't become this year's suggestion box. I suggest that we call the question.
There's no question on the table? Jim?
I'd like to make a motion that the individual LSV members are allowed to offer their emails, which I would like to do also. And so I move that we vote on allowing that to happen.
I second.
It's been moved and seconded that individual members can have their contact listed on the website. Is that their option? Is there any objection to the motion?
I'd like to offer a friendly amendment that the secretary of this board be tasked with compiling the list of those who do and don't, and then get that to me for delivery to the webmaster.
Somebody got a piece of paper and send it around. Just put your name and email address if you want to participate. If you don't, put your name and say thank you. Jim?
To allow this not to take up any more time, to allow this not to be this year's suggestion box, I'd like to call the question.
I don't think that, by the way, I don't think the friendly amendment requires to be amended. I think we can just do that tonight and get it over with.
Yeah.
So,
yep.
Mr. Kraft has asked that we close debate on the question. First, I would ask, is there any further debate on the question? Okay, having moved the, will anybody second the motion to close the debate?
I'm sitting here with my hand up about further debate.
I understand, but when somebody says I move call the question, I can't
you
do anything but call the question.
Further debate.
You did.
You asked if there was any further debate.
Well, I understand, but when I called on Mr. Kraft and he said call the question, I am taking out my hand.
Excuse me. After that, you said, is there any further debate?
I was hoping that we wouldn't have to have the vote on the question. But obviously, since there is further debate, now if you're against, if you want to not close debate, vote against closing debate.
You asked in the meeting.
I understand. I asked. I told the members
in the report
to see whether or not we were going to need to vote on closing the question.
And you, where everyone could hear it after that, asked if there was any further debate.
I hold the membership in order to determine whether we need to bother with the motion to close debate. Obviously, we do. So now I'm calling on people to vote for or against closing debate. It takes a two-thirds vote to vote for that question.
You can't have a vote question.
Yes, I can.
No, you can't.
Yes, I can.
Go ahead. Let's vote.
I'm sorry. I was out of order in asking if anybody wanted to debate this further. I should just call the question. All in favor of all closing the debate and voting on the motion before us, raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. All opposed to closing the debate. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Two-thirds prevails. Debate is closed.
So now we vote.
So now we vote. Is there any objection to the motion? There is objection to the motion. All right. All in favor of the motion as presented by Mr. Kraska, raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. All opposed? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I'm assuming Mr. Garcia's vote is out. So the motion passes. You may sign up to be on the website, contact on the website, or not. It's at your option.
It's a shitty option.
Ooh, wow.
It is. It's a cracker web handling.
Well, I didn't make the motion. You were free to make any motion you wanted. I remember my saying, nothing is on the table, somebody make a motion.
For me, I would be happy to have my name on the list, my email on the list, but my question is, historically we've had, there have been some more problems with PUB, I guess, but I would not want one faction or another to tell all of their email lists to crash my computer. That would be a problem. And if we could somehow sanction a member that would do that, then
that's
I would
not a point of information. You're requesting information.
I put it in the form of a question, but you understand what I'm saying.
The management voted on a move on with the agenda. I'm a little bit, your name was on it for 2 years. How many emails did you get? Okay, I'm just dumbfounded by wasting our time on something that's wrong.
Well, it's more important than just that. It really is. Because we're trying to move forward and expand the station's presence, the station's communication with people. And by not looking into all of that before we make a decision, we're cheating ourselves and our listeners.
The next item on the agenda is election of an LSV permanent secretary. Anybody have any suggestion with respect to the permanent secretary?
I would like to prevail upon Richard Uzzell, who has shown remarkable skills.
I can't do it.
I suggest that we continue with the secretary pro tem until we resolve the issue at item 1I, because I think once we resolve that, we might have a volunteer. So, if somebody wants to make a motion that we continue with the secretary pro tem. Okay. Nancy Henschel moved. And is there a second?
Second.
There's a second. Is there any debate on the matter? Hearing no debate, is there any opposition to passing the matter to continue? Yeah, that thing. Until later time. Hearing none. That is approved for now. And it will be on the agenda next meeting. Next item is, this is going to be a little maybe time consuming. the election of designation of PNB committee members. I believe on your agenda I attached a list of the PNB committees. In years past, we have informally just asked who wants to serve and if there's more people serving. I guess what I need to know is what is the status? We voted to change the bylaws in the December meeting. How many people are on each committee or on a couple of the committees? Can anybody refresh which committees we're talking about? And I think it was technology and...
It's no longer a committee.
Okay. And what was the other one?
Programming.
George?
There was a bylaws amendment which was passed that removed the programming committee from being a committee. And the PNB then acted at the next meeting and put it back on as a committee. So it should be also filled with this meeting.
Well, but how many members?
Two.
Okay. I don't know how the PNB can change the bylaws without a vote of membership, but that's for them to decide, not me.
Well, it's a technicality of the PNB can create any committee they want. And so they recreated the committee, the programming committee, instead of as a task force, they recreated it in the same form that it was before.
Well, and I would say that if the bylaws say it's a task force, it's a task force. But again, let's not waste our time with that. Okay, so audit committee. We need one PNB member and two or three LSB members. Two LSB members. Any PNB members want to volunteer for audit?
That is handled by the PNB.
Okay, that's right. That's out of control. So how many listeners want to volunteer for audit committee? I'm interested. Melinda Eiley Doan had sent me an email saying she was interested. Adriana's interested. So we're going to have a vote on that. Is there any objection to holding back the ones that require votes until we get through the list? Two LSB. Hearing none. Committee of Inclusion. Now, my question is for the PNB member, is this a different committee than our local Committee of Inclusion? Because this is established by the bylaws.
So this is it.
This is it. Okay. So then, again, the PNB would elect the PNB member to our Committee of Inclusion.
I think we do.
Actually, we do.
We do.
Huh?
We do this one.
We do this one? Okay. Is there any PNB member interested in serving on the Committee of Inclusion?
I will.
Okay. Point of information?
Yeah.
You said there was a paper that we could look at, and the paper I have is like sideways or something.
No.
The fourth page.
Thank you.
But it isn't. It isn't there.
Mine's on the back. Okay.
Well, this one doesn't have it.
Here.
So if people don't have it, we'll share with people that have it. It's a list of the committee.
Okay. Thank you.
So the committee of inclusion, as I recall, is one PNB member and three LSB members, and then those four people can invite anybody else. It's the one local committee created by the bylaws. So, any listeners interested in serving on the Committee for Inclusion?
Why is it just listeners?
Because Teresa already wants to be a PNB member.
Nobody?
But, so no staff members can be on that committee? Is that what you're saying?
Oh, I'm sorry. LSB members.
Jessica.
The chair knows the arrival to the meeting of Maria Elena Castellanos.
What's that going to do?
I am too.
I am three.
Jessica, you're as a director, if you want it, then I will step down from it because it only needs one director.
One PNB.
somebody?
And according to this, they have to be elected by the PNC.
Does it say that? The directors? The directors have to be elected from the PNC?
That's what the research has said.
Committee of Inclusion.
The Committee of Inclusion is different than all the other committees.
One PNC director from each station area and affiliates elected by PNC, not currently active.
Affiliates.
Yeah.
We're not affiliates.
It doesn't say anything about.
Section 4, Article 8. In addition, there shall be established at each of the foundation's radio station areas standing committees of the board to monitor the underrepresentative representation of communities in their respective radio station areas. These committees of inclusion shall include one director and three LSP members from each radio station area who shall be elected by their respective LSPs. As such, additional individuals as those four shall choose by majority vote.
Okay?
Yeah.
It's just misleading.
So I have three people that were interested, plus Jessica is going to take Teresa's place.
Okay.
Is there anybody else?
No, no.
Just Jessica.
No, I'm just saying, we take that. I'm going to do that.
All right.
So Jessica's going to be?
Yes.
Liana, Lopez, Hank Lamb,
and
yeah.
Question.
Yeah.
You're asking for people interested in the
committee
inclusion.
We had three nominees for two spaces on the audit committee, and so we passed it until we got through with the list.
Yes, I'd like to respond.
For the committee of inclusion? Okay. We now have four people interested in three positions for the committee of inclusion.
It's one PNB and three.
Right.
So, Adrian, weren't you interested?
No, no, no.
Okay.
I wasn't thinking that nobody
wants. Okay. So, Jessica, Liana, Hank, and Maria Lane.
That's good.
Okay, that one's done. Committee to investigate sexism and racism. I don't know that that's ever been something we've filled with. Can anybody tell me about that?
It has not been active in the at least for the last year.
Well, is anybody interested? And you can insist that they meet, so anybody's interested?
No.
Yeah.
How does the difference from the committee?
I have no idea, to be perfectly honest.
It's not a standing committee. It's not even mentioned in the bylaws.
How come it's in this list?
It's on this list, which was handed out at our orientation. So. If nobody's interested, we'll put nobody in.
Well.
Okay. Is there, well, it's the PNB would elect whoever.
Do we have a problem with?
Maybe we don't have a problem with everyone when it comes up.
Well, other folks would differ.
Have we just decided? Point of information, Mr. Chair, did people just nominate themselves for that committee?
Yes, Adriana Casame and Eddie Garcia. So that's two.
Point of information, I'm still a little bit confused.
I'm confused. You all on the PNB, tell me what this committee is and what it does.
Committee was started on the national level, and
I don't know that this committee has ever met at the national level. In fact,
well, we have some volunteers. If they decide to, we have some volunteers.
Point of order. Did you say Eddie Garcia?
Eddie volunteered, but it's still up in the air whether Eddie is a member. I got Bill was out there checking the minutes.
It'll be the Lars, not a time of time.
What?
No. In LA.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you got your computer out so you could check the minutes to determine Eddie's excused absences from.
Oh, no, I didn't.
December 12th, December 29th, and January was it 9th?
Point of information.
Well, that meeting occurred in November.
That's when we were trying to get a quorum and whatever.
That was the meeting we did.
He wasn't available because of water heater or whatever it was, something like that.
And I don't have the November minutes, but we're talking about December 12th, December 29th, and then January 9th. Not the meeting that was the forum, but we had our delegates meeting, and then we convened our LSP after the delegates meeting.
George? Since there, as far as I know, there are no rules written down anywhere we can find for a membership on this committee to investigate sexism and racism. It seems to me it would be open to the members, and so whatever Eddie's status is, if he wants to be on the committee, it seems to me he ought to be on it.
Well, we'll report them as potential contacts,
and that's what CMA is going to do, is that either whatever the outcome on my status is on the board, I'd like to get it.
There's nothing to say, isn't it?
Is there anybody else besides that?
Maria Elena.
Anybody else?
I volunteer because I remember when we have some discussion on the national level, I mean, some PND members were asking us, not me, I was reading the names, obviously, asking one of the members, why don't you go to the to investigate the sexist and racist committee? It means that made me believe that that was what happened then. Like I said, I'm not so racist or not.
Mr. Chair, all I can say is to my knowledge, the Committee to Investigate Sexism and Racism came up when there was a specific...
Can I ask why we're having a debate if, in fact, we have two people that want to serve? It probably will never be convened. We'll report these names to anybody that wants to convene it and go on to the next committee.
Fine, I agree. Go on to the next committee. Yep.
I mean, it doesn't make any sense to debate whether there's a committee if the committee doesn't exist. It'll never meet.
Does that require a motion or anything?
No. George.
The coordinating committee, I don't believe we have anything to say about that.
No.
Correct?
No.
No.
Leanna and...
No.
Adrian.
National Development Committee. Teresa, you want to tell people anything about the National Development Committee?
Actually, it's a task force, and...
So everybody's welcome to play.
Everyone. Just let me know if you want to be on, and I will send you the... emails with the code to get onto our telephone conferences.
For the sake of the committee, can we have
Anybody wanting to be on the, I will continue to serve on the development committee. Nancy Henschel says she will too. Everybody's welcome.
Sure, I'll do it.
This is the national.
Leon Lopez?
Yeah, national.
Request for information?
Yes.
Under development committee, is there elections committee? Yeah.
I'm confused too. The elections committee should just be highlighted as a separate committee on the list.
Oh, so there's just no description for development committee, right?
Right.
Right.
Well, if there's no description for the development committee, I don't see how it's possible to establish it. I mean, without definition.
It's a national committee.
It's a national.
Well, it is.
I have served on it for the last year. I'm sorry the definition is not there, but it's a legitimate task force.
So have I. It does just what it said. It's looking to find ways to actually do some development for the foundation. So it's basically exploratory at the moment, but it is certainly a committee that meets and is worthwhile. Exists. We should put anyone who wants to be on it on it.
So should I put you down, George?
You should say no.
Yeah, sure. Walk in and out.
You can put me down also.
Now, that's a task force?
That's a task force. Anybody can join.
Zero.
Did you want to be on the...
Okay.
Zero for the...
Actually, there's an ex-Girl Scout. I will come.
Real, Amy, you want on this?
I just wanted to say, actually, I was looking for the program task force, and it's not here because I understand.
Do you want on the development meeting?
The program is on.
Yes, I will.
And explain it before you came in.
Anybody else? Everybody's welcome.
Phil, did you hear Phil?
Who made up this?
Yes, I'd like to be on it as well.
I got you down.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah, I don't know what the rules are, but I'm sure that you would be welcome to participate.
Pass those everybody. Anybody you want on?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, money.
No, the development.
Okay.
I got it.
I'd like to be on.
Enjoy.
Next committee is the elections committee. Anybody? Elections? Adriana wants to be on elections?
I nominate you, Chair, Mr. Chair.
Who?
Me.
Who? Why me? Okay.
Why not squat?
Wasn't Hank interested in this? Or was he just interested in the little?
He's not here, so we put him on.
Yeah. Well, that's
why. Oh, go on.
Well, election committee, you know, there's two, so Hank and Adriana.
Mr. Chair?
Yeah.
The elections committee has the same status as the program committee. They're both created by the PNB. They're not in the bylaws. They're intended to run as a regular committee. And so I would like to have the programming committee added to the bottom of this list.
Excuse me, will you repeat that, please?
Yes. Sure. That the elections committee is in the same status as the programming committee.
Excuse me. Bill, look under agendas and see if he didn't post them in the wrong time. You sent me an email the other day when I asked why they couldn't be posted. And he said I mistakenly posted them under agendas.
So I would like to add the programming committee at the end of this. We need to put two people on that as well.
Done.
Good. Hank, did you know they put you on the election committee?
That's fine with me. I need to be on it.
Okay. Next committee is finance committee. We have no say in it.
Right.
No. Next committee is the governance committee.
Yes, I'd like to be on that.
Yes, I'd like to.
Elena.
How many people can be on that?
Two.
And our governance committee meeting, Dean of Pollard Sachs indicated a willingness to actually write policy for Pacifica that is long overdue and being written, and so I would place her name in nomination. So.
Okay, George, Marie, Elena, and Dean.
Yeah, we'll have to have an election on that. If there's no objection, we'll move that to the end.
And it'd be election on the elections, too. Right?
Mm-hmm. Election on elections, election on audit.
You ought to have it.
Next is the personnel committee. Do we have a say in personnel?
We do not have a say in personnel, Mr. Chair.
Okay. They evaluate PNB personnel. Chief Financial Officer, Executive Director, make recommendations to PNB and make recommendations regarding personnel policy.
Can we put a Nazi on there?
What?
Can we put a Nazi on?
You had to get him in line.
Huh?
To get him in line, yeah.
Candidate for that.
Yeah, I think
take it up with the PNB members. Technology Committee, I'm told that's been eliminated by the...
It's turned into the task.
It's the task force.
Okay.
What was that, the last step?
It's currently a task force, not a committee.
We should probably find if there are people who want to be on it, so they'll be notified when the first meeting occurs.
The technology?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm willing to be on the technology, since I'm on the task force here.
Yeah, I'm willing to be on the task force or committee as well, depending on what its actual goal is, because I'm not really quite sure what it's going to be about or what it's expected.
We end up much later.
Okay. Or what it's expected to be in the future.
That might be, you might be the architect of that.
Sure.
Pretty wide open.
Anybody else want to be? It's a task force. Everybody can play on the technology task force.
Well,
yeah.
I'm fine.
And we don't have any say in affiliates?
It's a task force. I will be on it, and anyone else is invited to join us. What's this?
Okay, so everybody's welcome to play on the affiliates task force. Liana? Leo, anybody else? Okay.
Who were those, Liana and who?
Liana and Leo, for
instance.
And then the last one, well, no, second to last one now.
Archives is inactive.
Well, let's get there. If anybody ever makes it active, let's get back to the LSP. Programming Committee. George, talk to us.
Well, the Programming Committee makes policy about programming. So we just spent a lot of time putting together this policy, which was passed by the PNB. I had circulated it before it was passed by the PNB, but it was on establishing program councils in every station with a sort of sketch of how these program councils were to be put together. So that's one of the things it did. Another thing it did was consider Spanish language programming. What should we do about that? It handles those kinds of issues, and I would like to be back on that.
George? You would be elected by the PNB. What we want to do is send some people. So who else is interested in the program?
Ingrid
is interested?
Yeah, believe it or not, I care.
The motions from the Programming Council Committee are on the back of this.
Is that the same as the bill for Ingo?
Yes.
Yeah, I read it. Okay.
Okay, I got three people for two slots, so we're going to have to vote on that one.
Who was the programming?
What?
Who was the programming?
George Ryan, Maria Elena Castanales, and Amy Turner.
I'd like to go with the programming committee.
And Doyle Odom. Well, the problem is we have a little dispute over whether or not you are a member of this board, because the former member had showed up saying he didn't miss three meetings in a row, and we don't have copies of the minutes to confirm or support that with us.
Yeah, but I don't think that's a problem. I mean, if it turns out that he's not going to be on it, then he won't be on it. So.
Well, we have to vote 2 out of 4.
I guess we'll know by next week. We said you're going to look into it.
Well, actually, Bill was seeing if he could find out.
I checked in the December. There were two December meetings, and these are requested on the website under your agenda.
Okay. You might note when you look at that that apparently the recordings are not posted under agendas.
And he was here in November.
He was here in November. We're talking about December 12th, December 29th, and January 9th.
And I've never changed.
Robert?
Yeah.
I have my text message from December 12th where I was trying to see if Eddie was going to be able to come or not. Because at first he was running late, but then he said, please ask for an excused absence because he couldn't make it.
And did you?
I believe I did.
Well, that solved the problem.
Yeah.
I believe that I did.
Yes, you did.
We were all trying to see that to get here. And
she mentioned it.
I was like, that's it.
Well, if it's on the tape, which anybody can listen to, then I think we need to take it up at the next meeting. I don't know what else we can do.
What
is it? Everybody can audit the recording. And
I recall her mentioning it.
Well, the issue is whether or not when the motion was made, you excused it. He was included. And then the next issue is going to be, in light of what she's advised us, do we want to amend the minutes of that meeting to reflect the change? But I don't think we can do it tonight. I think we have to wait until the next meeting. So that everybody has a fair chance to listen to the audit, to look at the minutes, and to go from there. So I guess we have to have balance for audit. Bill, I need your help on this.
Actually, you need balance.
Well, I have some here. They're not the nice fancy ones that you all did, but I have these.
You need balance for four.
Is the one I should be on the program.
Four elections, right?
No, people just vote.
Programming,
I don't
audit,
want to, no, I don't want to put
and the government.
Nothing playable.
That's you.
Election.
I'm a candidate on the audit.
Elections, government, programming, and audit.
Election.
Okay.
No.
What? Did you take your name off of election?
No, I thought Deanna. Well, nobody else.
For election? Yeah, I got Robert and Hank.
Well, I sort of withdrew. I think Blackman's is resolved.
You sort of withdrew?
Yeah.
I sort of said that he asked for an excuse that.
Hey,
I sort of heard in the order on the information before the motion passed.
So it's Adriana for election.
Go ahead,
Adriana and Hank.
So, is there anything we can take up while we're having ballots prepared? APFD recognition, perfect.
Yes.
Anybody have any recognitions?
What about the votes?
Teresa.
I would like to recognize Robin Lewis for her very hard work on our last pledge drive and the work that she's done to support the development committee.
Anybody else? Jarell?
I would like to recognize Teresa because I think you helped recruit a new car donor company, and I heard on the air that it was pretty successful. I heard the various commercials instead of just one, and I think we've raised a good deal of money with cars, right?
We're raising more.
December report, we're over budget.
If anybody has an RV, something that might be worth $20,000 or $30,000 or $40,000,
give it to me.
Give it to me. Yeah.
I want to recognize Cliff Broussard. He has a new show on 50.
Yeah.
And it sounds great, and he did extremely well on the pledge drive.
Yeah.
As well as Cooney, who is back on 50. He did extremely well on the pledge drive as well.
I would recognize John Crawford. Having the most energy and
staff status. Thank you. That's John Robin sitting in the chair next to Bill.
Jessica.
We're going around this way. So. Anybody? Jessica, we're going around this way. And Dwayne is ahead of you.
Okay.
and anybody else that gets in the way. So, anybody, Dwayne?
Okay, yeah, I have several. I'd like to acknowledge any of y'all who actually came in and helped answer phones during the pledge drive. And a number of y'all did, and you know who you are. And it means an awful lot, because I know that you have a lot of responsibilities with committees and being on boards and all that. But to actually stick around and hang out in the pledge room and take phone calls, interact with the phone volunteers, I think that's commendable. I also wanted to acknowledge this guy who goes by the name of Anthony. And he kind of singularly helped push us into having a presence at the Chinese New Year, Chinese Cultural Festival. And that was a pretty cool push into outreach to the Asian community, where we are, I think, sorely lacking. Even though our representative station. Right. There was a lot of work he did. And
of our agenda. Why are we
discussing? If we get some balance, we can continue this discussion about the election. We have to have some process. for people to say why they want to serve. So
I have a question about that setting. We need to know whether any of our oil or water is
right.
So, I don't know how to fix that.
Well, in that case, we have to know which one of those who voted. Which one of those is going to have ballot?
Which one is going to pay out?
I have a suggestion.
Or you can lay the elections till next time. We can ask both of them not to vote.
Well, would the two people in the questionable whether or not you're seated agree not to vote in this election? The chair will entertain a motion that we move these elections to the next meeting.
I move that we postpone these elections until our next meeting.
It's been moved and seconded. Is there any discussion of continuing this matter to the next meeting? Hearing none.
Yes. Commander, is it called, and who will be responsible for selecting all of these committees or the institute?
Whoever the PNB selects as the PNB members of these committees.
So the PNB will open. That's already been
started. Outside, no, it will be held at their board meeting next
week. The national meeting.
And then they will then take the people and set them so.
Maybe that's something. I mean, we starting tomorrow, we will have a bunch of PME meetings, and we will not have anybody to present to us?
For the one meeting.
We don't know whether they will meet or whether they won't meet.
Well, exactly. But we don't have the people.
Well,
I don't know. I mean, we keep the old one.
It's been moved and seconded. We have a motion on the floor. George, go ahead.
I think it's a good idea. Yeah. The PNB won't meet until the end of the month. It's been typically at least a couple of weeks after that before these committees ever got themselves organized. I don't like to do that, but it seems given the situation, I think it's what we should do. So I'm going to vote for the motion.
Okay. Teresa, who's next?
Yes, and I would say I don't think it's necessary that we select the people now. I think George took my idea.
I concur.
Okay. Anybody? Jim?
I don't know if it'll cause trouble, but would Doyle be willing to allow? No.
He said he
would be willing not to vote. I was going to say, would he be willing to allow Eddie to post his vote if he came to that?
I kind of said something. I don't have a lot of pride, you know, when it comes to, like, directing the board. I just want to be a part of the board if possible. But I don't think it's necessarily up to me to make that call. It's up to you guys, because I'm not on the board officially, evidently.
Well, it's in question.
Well, it's in question.
It's in question, so it's more up to you guys to speak.
I withdraw whatever I said.
Well, you can make a motion. George?
Question.
Other questions?
Any objection to the motion? Any objection to the motion to pass the election of the committee members, the contested committee members until the next meeting? Hearing none, the motion is approved. The next item is the discussion and selection of regular meeting day. Now, I sent out various emails and I got feedback. I will report the feedback I have, which is Doc would really like to meet on Mondays. He doesn't, you know, he didn't say why, but he said that Monday would be his best day. And Dina Pollard-Sachs is teaching a class that runs until 9 o'clock on Wednesdays, until the end of the semester, and so we might want to consider Monday or Thursday. I suggested Saturday, and two or three people said not Saturday, and I didn't really hear anybody yell loudly about Thursday. Dwayne has a conflict on Mondays for how long?
Till May.
So.
I know I'm in limbo, but I have a conflict on Mondays.
Okay.
Also, Monday, I have, Monday is really bad for me too. I have to be on the job site at 6:30.
Okay.
On Monday.
All right. Point noted.
What I don't have any problem. I will accommodate my time. But what I realized, I was checking why we have a Wednesday. And what I realized that if KPFK, WBAI, KPFT, and WBFW, the same day, the same Wednesday that we are doing it, because in a way that allows, I mean, the PNB is not taking that day because most, and the other station is the KPFA that is in Saturday. If not, we will have our PNB members, I mean, you know, the day that the PNB is having problems. I mean,
so, what was the problem with Wednesdays?
Just the one member, each in class, I thought.
I have a problem with Thursdays. I think it's the second and fourth. I'll double check Thursday.
How long is Tina? Tina said that probably she did not answer. But she's trying to change to your page.
So, she is expected, by the way. She was going to come as soon as she could. So, I guess the other issue that had come up and needs some consideration is that on the second Wednesday, we always get 2 months behind in our fiscal reports, whereas if we move it to the third Wednesday, we would have the preceding month's fiscal reports. So that was an issue that came up in various discussions. Richard?
Your conflict on Thursday, Maria, was the second and fourth
I'm I'm checking it right now in my files.
Was there a conflict with Dana with the Thursday call?
She'd be a little late, but she wouldn't be as late as on Wednesday.
How much of a difference?
Hour and a half, 7:30 versus 9.
Which Thursday of the month would be?
Well, we were trying to accommodate you not needing it on the second or the fourth, so I'm going to say the third.
Plus, that would accomplish the issue with the
thing. Teresa?
One of the challenges to not having it on Wednesday, let's say we change it to Thursday, so none of the committees can meet on that Thursday, or our representatives would not be able to attend those meetings. And since you're on like four committees, if you were elected, you would be on four committees, for example, and you're applying for three, and various people are applying for a lot of committees, those committees can't meet on that day either, or our representatives would not be able to attend because we have an LSP meeting. So there is a real advantage to somehow meeting on the same days as the other LSBs. It makes it a lot easier because we have so many committees and telephone conferences for the national meetings in addition to our local meetings. Just a thought.
I think that was the main reason why we did.
Jim?
Richard?
Yeah.
Okay. If I'm wrong, is there a motion on the floor?
No.
I'd like to make a motion to leave the meeting anywhere it is.
Second.
The movement second is that we leave the meeting on the second Wednesday of the month. Is there any further discussion?
I'd like to propose a substitute motion.
Have you heard
it? The third Thursday of the month.
I'll second that one.
Second.
Okay, it's been moved to substitute the second Wednesday for the third Thursday. So is there any discussion on the amendment? Go ahead and spend your money.
Yeah, I mean, it is the case that some of the other LSPs meet on Wednesday, but they don't all meet on Wednesday, other than everyone else.
KPFA meets Saturday.
I think it seems to be that the day when we can all be here, how the PNB committees will break out, you know, once a month on a Thursday, I don't think it's a big obstruction that the committees can meet. So My sense is priority should be seeing to it that we can.
May the chair inquire, how will this play out? Like, next week is the PMB meeting, the in-person PMB meeting. Will this always be in conflict with in-person PMB meeting?
They usually the second and fourth Thursdays. That's what they've been typically. I guess that's what they're going to consider. Continue if they switch it, then we should probably reconsider.
Okay.
I'll reach out a lot of things at Discovery Green on Thursday.
Everybody hear that? We have a lot of outreach activity at Discovery Green on Thursday nights.
Isn't the only motion worth debating Thursday?
No, Wednesday. Third Wednesday.
No, the original motion was even as it is, and George made a substitute motion.
Third Wednesday. Yeah. Did you mention that?
Third Wednesday would accommodate the beginning of the up-to-date fiscal reports. Well, I guess because the finding the day everybody's happy with is really what we're trying to do.
But it doesn't matter because there's a motion on the floor and a second.
Okay.
Point of information. Dana had the biggest conflict. Her conflict is that she has a class until the end of this semester.
Right. Correct.
Yeah. Which will be two more meetings.
Correct.
Right.
That's a good point, man.
I would like to make a command. May I substitute one for Jordan? Well, that's what you were saying, third room. That's what I'm.
Mr. Miller, I said the third room. I don't know whether you have enough substitute for something, but you could try it.
I would like to propose the third Wednesday.
Yeah. Amen.
I don't know if you can make a substitute for a substitute.
I can.
Third Wednesday. One we're doing already.
But is there any objection to the third Wednesday?
Is that the same Wednesday?
Why don't we just see if there's any objection to the third Wednesday?
Well, I think that there could be the people supporting.
Is there consensus on the third Wednesday?
Yes. I don't know.
Okay,
I just have a question. I'm confused. Is the third Wednesday the same Wednesday that we've been meeting? This is the second Wednesday, okay.
So let's meet again next week.
This does not mean we'll meet again next week.
That's not right. Don't do it. Okay. I just wanted to clarify this question.
Okay.
Okay, so there's no objection? The third Wednesday?
No, we still having the same problem. What's happened with all the other stations? How can we make the PMB and all the other committees, the PMB committees, not to use that day? The second we know, but we have four stations that they will not do anything.
Jordan, would you like to address that again?
What's that?
The second Wednesday versus the third Wednesday with the other PMB committees, the LSB committee meetings. You spoke to it earlier.
Well, I think Adriana's right that most of them meet on the second Wednesday. They don't all meet on the second Wednesday. If we didn't meet on the second Wednesday, there'd be a free meeting, and if we not. I don't think it's a big issue, frankly. The committee meetings are once a month. They're stretched out over 5 days. There may be some conflicts, but once people get on the committee, they can rearrange it there. I don't think it's a big deal. I kind of take Richard's point that Dina's only inconvenienced for 2 months. But I think I still like to vote on these things. I think I'd actually rather prefer the third Thursday.
You'd rather vote for if you insist on the vote on the third Thursday, we'll vote on it?
Just vote on the substitute of mine, and if that passes, then that's gone. And if nobody objects, I won't object to the first.
Put on the substitute. Because of the outreach stuff that we have, there'd be a lot more people than just one person that can't come.
Yep.
Right.
Would be less attendance than...
We're generally involved.
And this is only an issue for two or three meetings at the most. So...
What date?
So moving to Thursday would be less people available.
So you're talking against Thursday.
Yeah.
I care a lot of things.
So Richard has made a substitute motion for the third Wednesday to George's substitute motion for the third Thursday to Jim's original motion for leaving it the same on the second Wednesday. So we first want to take up, is there further discussion on the motion to move it to the third Wednesday? Hearing none, is there any objection to the motion to move it to the third Wednesday? There is an objection, so we will vote. All in favor of the substitute motion setting our regular meeting for this year on the third Wednesday, raise your hand.
For it?
For it, yes.
For third Wednesday?
Third Wednesday, yes. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. All opposed? Just for the record's sake, 1, 2, 3, 4. So the substitute motion passes 13-4. That being the case, do I have to pick it up again as a being...
No, because now it's running against the second Wednesday.
Okay, now we're running against the second Wednesday. So, again, we'll take a vote. All in favor of the third Wednesday as a substitute motion for the second Wednesday, raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. You no longer want the third Wednesday, Teresa?
I like it on the second.
I like it on the second.
Okay.
When everybody else is
all right, I just want to make sure that everybody's paying attention. All right, so raise your hand again. Let me count it out. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 4.
All right, I'm confused, but whichever Wednesday works for me, I don't care. I don't care.
All opposed to the third Wednesday as opposed to the second Wednesday. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 10-6. So it's the third Wednesday. So the motion has been substituted for. The substitute motion passed 10-6. So now I guess, have to vote on it as a main motion. All in favor of the substitute motion by Mr. Uzzell to make the regular meeting date the third Wednesday, raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Jumonica? No? 9, 10. All opposed to the main, the substitute motion, the motion that make it unfair. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So the motion passes, it's the third Wednesday of the month. Dare I ask, do we want to continue to try and meet at 7, even though nobody seems to be able to be ready at 7, or do we want to change the starting
time? 7.
All right, if there's no motion at 7, if somebody wants to change it, make a motion. Hearing no motion, the regular meeting date is now the third Wednesday at 7 p.m.
No,
I've already announced we are not meeting here next week.
So, point of information, so are we now in conflict with the dates of the other stations?
Well, we're in conflict with two of them.
We're in conflict with everything because of one.
What? We were the other way.
We were the third.
Okay, so the result is
four. And one
no.
On Saturday.
No, that's why you vote against us. I don't know. I
thought
I
do.
It seems that the result of meeting on the third Wednesday instead of the second is that we are no longer going to be meeting with two of the other stations.
Three.
However, we will have more up-to-date information.
Does the member want to make a motion to reconsider?
No, I'm just laying out the simple fact that we're going to have more information about our
Orders of the day.
Orders of the day.
I just wanted to make a point of information for all the new members. Nancy can, we're always going to be trying to accommodate one member, and it's never going to work. Thank you.
So, with that in mind, I make a motion to reconsider. What is the purpose of our change?
Thank you.
Up-to-date financial information is the only purpose.
That seems less important than not conflicting with the other stations or committee meetings or FPNB committees.
Well, you made a motion. It's been seconded. Is there any discussion on the motion to reconsider?
I agree. I think it's kind of a discussion of that. The main reason that I'm like later in the month like that is it gives our committees time to meet. I didn't want to change it to the third to conflict with Dana, but I think meeting later in the month like that, I would maybe say the fourth myself. But that gives us time to use the month to be ready for our meeting.
Well, there's a month between meetings regardless.
Thank you.
There's a month between meetings regardless.
Oh, yeah.
But in people's minds,
when the first comes up, people go, oh, I got to have a meeting. And so if I jam in there that first couple of weeks.
No, they can go on the second couple
of weeks. I know they can. I'm just talking about reality. In reality, people meet the first part of the month. And that, I'm trying to tell you why I, agree. But people want to meet in the first part of the month. And if everybody's rushing to meet, then we can't get that information to us. And if there's other information, financial information, okay, that's even more information to us. We work better if we have the best information.
So if we're meeting on the 3rd, when the 1st rolls around, everybody wants to meet, nobody wants to meet in the 4th week?
Not me.
Okay.
I don't know, it's weird.
So, I don't understand.
I would like to be in this group, but I'm not going to.
This kind of discussion back and forth is really out of order. Out of order. Richard has the floor. When he's finished,
I was trying to get some clarification on it.
Everybody, I don't know why we care what the other LSBs do, but Murray Lane, it's your turn.
I think we should care very much what the other LSBs are doing. We're confronting a situation where already, this was $110,000 or something from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting on the governmental pittance that supposedly the divvied up is going to be cut back. I mean, there's a lot of things that we're going to have to look at from a national perspective. There are five stations, it's like five fingers on this hand. Pacifica was founded upon the basis of not just one little bitty station serving one little bitty locale. And I think it's very important to consider not only what are we excluding in the process of choosing this particular date for the LSB, as opposed to saying, hey, what about the 4th Wednesday of the month? And does that conflict with other LSBs? And if not, then that would even more accommodate the member who said that, the delegate who said that it would coincide with the need for the committees to provide a total month's reckoning. So what about the 4th Wednesday? Would that be more easily reconciled with the other LSB?
The cycle.
And committee.
Well, the only thing before this body right now is reconsidering the motion that was just passed.
This is reconsideration.
That's right. So it's not open to let's have a motion to make it the 4th Wednesday.
No.
The issue before us is whether we are going to reconsider the motion to make it the 3rd Wednesday. If the reconsideration passes, then by default, it's the 2nd Wednesday.
Mr. Chairman, please, let me say what my words are and not rephrase them. I'm not making a motion that there be a meeting for the LSB on the 4th Wednesday. I'm simply asking, what are the mutually excluding factors with regard to the other LSB meetings that are going on among the Pacifica stations? I mean, why? You said that now we're in conflict with, what, two other stations?
Three other stations.
Three other stations?
Right. We were the fourth one meeting on the second Tuesday. And only one other station met on a Saturday.
So my question, I simply have a question.
So now we're in conflict with all those committees and our other committees that have been standing and the PNB.
So there's less conflict if it's on the second Wednesday of the month?
It seems to be.
And is there even less conflict if it's on the first or fourth?
No, the second.
I'm just asking for more information.
I think as it stands, the least conflict is where it's meeting right now.
What does it mean to be in conflict with them? If we don't meet at the same exact time, how does that exactly put us at conflict with them? And then the other point I wanted to make was you mentioned about financial instability. If we're concerned with financial instability, wouldn't we want to have at our disposal the most up-to-date financial information?
Thank you.
That's why my question was, part of my question was, what would be the resolution of contradictions and we want to have it on the fourth Wednesday as opposed to the...
Well, if we meet on the third, we meet on the fourth, we have the same financial information.
No, I'm asking a question. I'm asking for feedback.
Point of order. Point of order. I'll get the conversation back and forth isn't the way the meeting's supposed to go. I'd like to call a question on whether or not we should reconsider. If it passes, then we reconsider. Okay? So what's on the floor now is whether or not there's enough people who feel they might want to change their mind to reconsider the question. If that passes, we can have conversations about what we should do then. I'm calling the question on that.
I have a comment on that, and it is that all of this discussion is about whether or not to reconsider.
All in favor, all in question.
Okay, we're voting on whether to reconsider matter on the regular, weekly, or monthly meeting. Question has been requested that we close today and vote on the question. If the reconsideration request passes, then we will vote and discuss the regular meeting date again. If the reconsideration vote fails, then we have established the regular meeting date as the third Wednesday. A reconsideration requires a two-third vote of the membership.
So are you requesting that we stop talking about it?
That's exactly what I did.
Reconsideration just requires a majority.
No, reconsideration requires a two-thirds vote.
No, rescinding does. Reconsideration at the same meeting only requires a majority.
Ted? There's no such thing as reconsideration at a second meeting because the meeting adjourns.
So, but you put up a motion to reconsider it in the second meeting, and that's fine. Now let's vote.
While they're looking that up, I'd just like to say that my pig is prettier than his pig.
Okay, she's allowed to say that, and I'll also say, I think the concern here is the member who brought this whole thing up, who appears to be Dina, has a conflict on the second Wednesday.
No, every Wednesday.
Now we're just talking about whether we should be meeting on the second or the third.
Doesn't make any difference for her. So it's not even out.
Okay, well, I can keep talking since everybody can keep talking. Please looking this up. Everybody's going to have a conflict. Look at this huge turnout tonight on the second Wednesday. I think it's a pretty good turnout. One member has a problem. There's a couple of excused absences, which are fine. As long as that person could get an excused absence, there's no worry about meetings. So
I think the way
relevant. So I'm all for the reconsideration of the voted for
which one? For the last vote.
Your case is prettier than mine.
I'd like to ask a question.
Does
anyone like
to know? Anybody can talk.
Okay. The rule is that if two-thirds vote to reconsider, the question is reconsidered. If less than two-thirds but more than a majority vote, that puts us in the position of what George said, which is taking up the question right now. So, all in favor of closing debate? I'm sorry, wait a minute. Closing debate. All in favor, which does require a two-thirds vote. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, and all opposed? No. So the debate is closed. We called the question, so we're going to take a vote now on the motion to reconsider. All in favor to reconsidering the prior motion, previous question? George, Ingrid, Teresa. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. The chair votes aye, 16. All opposed? That's a two-thirds vote. There are four opposed. Therefore, the motion is reconsidered.
What?
That is not
so. There's no reason.
Does somebody want to make a motion officially that we continue our meetings to the continue our regular meetings on the second Wednesday of every month? Just say it.
I do.
Teresa moves. Any
second.
Any further discussion required on this motion?
No.
Hearing none. I'm going to ask for your vote. All in favor of the second Wednesday of the month? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. All opposed to the second Wednesday of the month. 1, 2, 3, 4. Wait a minute. Teresa, are you voting for or opposed?
No. Keep balancing yourself, right?
Are you making me do this again? Because I have to now, because I can't get it straight.
Right.
Could you find your way to the table so I could actually see your vote? All in favor of the second Wednesday? Raise your hands again. Raise them high. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. 13 ayes. All opposed. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 nays. The second Wednesday wins. I don't know how they're
going. It wins.
They were both voted the same way, right?
Well, they were voted the same way, and it was odd, it was May, right? So it could be 4 May.
Yeah.
All right, the meeting, the second, third, second Wednesday is now our regular meeting day.
If we voted against that, do we still have to come to the meeting?
What's the meeting? It's up to you. Next item on the agenda, unless anybody has any further recognitions, Mr. Kraft.
Honorary recognition. A motion to excuse people that have excused absence.
We already did that.
Yeah.
And the piece.
Can we go to
well, that's each meeting.
What did you say?
That is our
somebody has a class on the second Wednesday, we excuse them.
Oh, okay. See you next. People wouldn't be here before this meeting, so I don't think that's an issue in terms of excuse.
Can we go to item 3? Yeah.
So, the next item on the agenda is consent items. I was only advised of one. The governance committee unanimously voted to change its meaning and purpose to further explain the language that was kind of ambiguous in the list of committees to read, draft and recommend rules and procedures to the LSB, including but not limited to conflict resolution, amendments to KPFC standing and special rules, and amendments to Pacifica bylaws. Committee makes approval of the members as set forth in the report, or moves also approval of the members as set forth in the report with immediate voting rights for LSB members and eligibility at third consecutive meeting for non-LSB participants. You have before you the governance committee report. The attendance sheet is on the back of it. So let's take up the change in the meaning and purpose of the committee. Is there any objection to that? It basically just further explains the language that was there. Yeah.
Well, we have later on the discussion of the standing rules, but this is not the standing rules.
This is not the standing rules. This is the meaning and purpose of the committee. It was unanimously approved, including you, at the meeting.
What I'm discussing here is the eligibility of the third consecutive meeting for non-LSB participants.
All right, I'm going to say we're discussing now the first sentence of that paragraph, which is the meaning and purpose of the committee.
Okay.
Then we will go to approval of committee members. Is there any objection to the change in the meaning and purpose of the committee? Hearing none, the meaning and the purpose of the
committee. I have a question regarding the governance committee, that paragraph there, where it says that eligibility at 30%.
Okay, I'm going to say this again. That is not before the body at this moment. The only thing before the body is this line that ends in quotes.
Oh.
Is there any objection to the meaning and purpose of the committee?
I move that we approve that.
I don't think we need to do that. The committee report is the committee report, and that was the consent item. So if there's no objection, that is the meaning and purpose of the committee.
Okay. Amen.
The next item, for which there was no objection at our meeting, was the approval of members. As step forward, is there an objection to that? Yes or no? Is there an objection?
Well, I have an objection. It was not clarified, and that is the phrase with regard to eligibility at third consecutive meeting for non-LSB participants. Does this include participants, non-LSB participants, who have been already actively involved in the governance committee?
Okay. That is, in fact, an objection. It is a matter that will be taken up in the governance committee report, and therefore I am going to pass this matter to the governance committee report on the basis of an objection. So we can discuss it all when we take up the amendment to the standing rules and have that complete discussion.
Okay. Well, I just simply wanted to add, my concern is whether or not this would disrupt the contributions that have been made by long-standing non-LSB members of the
committee. The committee approved the policy, review of the policy on that, and long-standing members who didn't attend the first meeting would be affected, but that is subject to the vote of this membership. It was not a consent item. So since you're objecting to the approval of the membership, we'll just roll that into the discussion of the change of policy and take it up in the committee. Because consent items are hopefully for things that don't have long days. Okay? So I'm not saying no, I'm saying because there's a need for debate, we'll do it. Okay? All right. Did outreach submit a written report with members to approve?
No. No,
no. Okay. So then we'll pass that until the next meeting if we don't have a list.
Can I say that I've been secretary of the outreach committee, but I was sick, and I would refer people to the emails that were sent thanking for a couple of events. We had some detailed thank yous to the volunteers, something that Bill Kimmel came, and then Mardi Gras. So I think that could maybe stand as our outreach.
But it doesn't have a sign-in sheet for the initial membership to approve the membership, which would be a consent item if it was prepared and submitted. We'll get to the outreach committee meeting report. We're dealing with consent items.
That would be my fault because we're such like a task force that wasn't put together before now. So I can submit that still, but I can get it ready.
So it's no longer a consent item. It's a matter for the outreach committee report. Next item on the agenda, and my watch says it's 7:07, is the general manager's report.
Mine says P&B report.
Yeah, mine says P&B report.
Yeah, mine says P&B report.
Yeah, I'm sorry. It's on the bottom of the page. P&B report. Bill, you can submit a written report. Okay, you all have before you your written P&B report. Is there anything of importance that the P&B members need to advise us of? It isn't in the report. George?
I think people should say, well, we're going to have to institute a program council at some point. And the motion for it is there. But I think people should pay attention to what came out of the governance committee, which is motion one on back here. It establishes conditions for membership in good standing. And in particular, it describes things that you could have done which make you a member not in good standing. This was very controversial. I'm not sure myself which way I go on this. On the one hand, people wanted to protect the organization. On the other hand, it seems like judging people for past conduct and sort of making them bad persons who are doesn't make a lot of sense either. So anyway, it was passed, and it has implications for basically anyone running for the LSB in the future. Anyone can say, well, you're not a member in good standing because of these three conditions. And there's a procedure for following that through. So people should just know about it. I don't think there's anything to do about it until the next election.
Yes.
But it's there.
Does it mean that people will not be seated?
What's that?
Does it mean that people will not be seated?
The way it's written, they wouldn't be allowed to run.
Right.
Would they be seated, though?
If they can't run.
They can't run.
They wouldn't be elected.
It doesn't apply to this election. It only applies to future elections.
Thank you.
Yeah. Is there a discussion right now?
Yes, go ahead. Yeah, directed to any PMB members. I don't know what to say.
Well, I listened to that meeting that was live streamed when we were discussing this definition of members of good standing. And the language itself raises the same concerns that were raised in that PMB discussion, and that was it's more general. The definition of, for instance, threatening behavior is left up to a more general kind of category apart from what is defined as a criminal violation of threatening behavior. In other words, this language is so nebulous and so subjective. If I think it would really open the doors to sorts of really self-destructive kinds of vendettas and baseless kinds of charges.
I'd like to respond to that.
Sure, no, I'm going to hand you the gavel for purposes of addressing any of the questions about the PMB report.
Okay. What Condition 3 says is actually they have to have been banned, and I agree with you about that language, it's nebulous, but they have to have been banned because of that. So a general manager who's going to do the banning has to have decided and said somewhere, it's because of your threatening behavior. So if that's said, then that's on the record, and that's, you know, that's a condition by which this is could be acted on. If they're banned for some other reason, then you can't act on it. So it's really, it isn't as bad as anybody could just, you know, make a charge of, well, that was threatening behavior, I felt threatened.
Right.
You know, that would be awful.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you.
Teresa?
I would like to...
Teresa.
I would also like to say that I have received a lot of emails because somebody utilized some sort of portal, and I've received all kinds of emails saying, how dare Pacifica require a loyalty oath? What's this McCarthyism? Blah, blah, blah. But if someone has really been threatened, and we've taken a vote to ban somebody, or we have their picture at the door saying, don't let this person in because they have wielded a knife or whatever, then it's amazing, but these people will run for the board, and I don't want them to run for the board. I want it to be clear that if you've done any one of these three things, then I don't want you to run for the board, because unfortunately a lot of our people that are voting, they don't know these things, and we're too polite to say them on air, you know, when they're running for office. So, I mean, Would you want sitting, I mean, really, would you want somebody sitting next to you that's done one of these three things?
I see your point, Teresa, but my point is that in that specific kind of situation, that's where a criminal charge and the necessary instruments of authority are brought to bear in controlling that kind of threatening behavior. What I'm concerned with is that this kind of language is completely outside any criminal definition of threatening behavior. And it opens the door to all sorts of subjective definitions of who is a threatening, what is threatening behavior, and should it automatically give rise to a person's loss of good standing?
We can't change it.
So, is criminal behavior where Pacifica wants the mark to be?
No.
My question is, wouldn't that be fair to the individual to, as far as putting that kind of language in here that defines criminal behavior or being founded in some sort of...
I mean, don't we want to stop well short of criminal behavior?
We don't have a back and forth.
Yeah.
Robert?
Yeah, I would just say that this is a private organization. We're not creating laws here. We're not imprisoning anybody. We're not fining anybody. We have the right, and I read a rather exhaustive legal memo on this, we have the right to establish what is a member in good standing. Criminal rules do not apply legally. I don't think any court would apply criminal rules to us making rules regarding the conduct of people at our process. And as having practiced criminal law for many years, I don't see any relation to the criminal law. And the key words in that phrase are not behavior creating an unsafe environment for others as much as they are banned from the station. Those are the key words. That's the operative thing.
Doyle?
Yeah, I was just going to point that out too. If someone's banned from the station, or something that the management has decided upon, if we have an objection to that, we have to talk to them about the specific people that have been banned from the station. But as far as criminal behavior, I mean, there might be some of us that have a criminal background that doesn't mean it's necessarily we shouldn't be on the KPST board.
So the concerns are the breaches of duty of loyalty and duty of care. So, I mean, say there's one member of the board that everybody can't stand, and we decide that we're going to say that they're not loyal. Where are the boundaries?
This has to be a court of law.
Those account court of law. Those also are, because there's a comma right after duty and right before R. You see that?
Where is it?
Fiduciary duty, comma,
yes.
Or, and then there's no comma after loyalty. So does that... That's the way I read it.
That wasn't my interpretation, and that wasn't the interpretation that was presented.
Okay. Well, it's a court of law that says all of these that I'm.
That's right. I think, and those of you who are lawyers can tell me that the duty of loyalty and duty of care is legal language for your fiduciary responsibility. So, I'm going to take people who haven't spoken yet. Colleen.
Yeah.
Point of order is
And one is, like George said, this was a controversial topic, and what was generally discussed among members of this committee was that for two reasons. One is that everybody's interested, of course, in that any folks that have committed criminal behavior these stations, but people mentioned frequently that this kind of ruling often is used as a deterrent to get a particular person.
It's 9 o'clock.
Has anybody signed in for public comment? Someone want to get a chair up by a microphone so we can record the public comment?
Why can't the only it the only clause for something not being...
Okay, you're out of order. It's 9 o'clock. We always take a public comment at 9 o'clock. We're continuing that discussion for 3 minutes following the public comment.
Yeah.
Okay. I am named, but I don't know. Probably you do, but... NSN, you're up.
About the, I sent an email already to everybody, LSD. I don't know if Doyle is going to get it or not, but what I was going to plan to say, so look at the email.
I would be happy to allow the email to be printed out and placed on file.
And also, the it was about the, like this, public comment. You know, it's not on the minutes and it's not on the... The audio recordings. Audio recordings haven't been posted since July, and we're in big danger, serious trouble, you know, because this is not transparency, and this is not following CPB rules that we need that grant $150,000 a year from. So it's not just for the money, but also it's not transparency. So, you know, this is kind of a farce, you know, having people come and sit here and talk to a microphone, and it's not even in the minutes. It's not in the recording, and it's not in the minutes, and I think this is why people don't come here, because, you know, they're kind of insulted, maybe, because we did promise them, and during the BDS debate, you know, we told these people, and Robert, you promised them that if they wrote it on paper, it would be put into the minutes, and it was not.
No, it would be put on file.
Yeah, well, not in, it, how can they tell it's on a file? I mean, it should be in the minutes, right? Well, anyway, so I think if we want to be transparent, and we want the listeners to feel more connected with us, we need to, you know, write down what they say and briefly, and include the audio, like this part. So.
Thank you. DL, you're up.
Well, good evening.
Hello.
Good to be here on this side of the mic. It feels a bit unusual. But Nancy, I wish you had used more time, because this has given me too much of an opportunity to light it up. But first off, I want to thank those of you who on the board who took this meeting. I want to thank those of you who continue to serve, but I come to bring a couple of points. I hope they're saving enough for you. First off, I know how to lose. I have lost many efforts. But when it's a rigged kind of race, I have learned after 53 years that you just don't take that sitting down. Now, I will say a bit conjecture for a moment. If, in fact, we have a race of board members that is supposed to be controlled by a appointed and paid for local election supervisor, and paid for by the national election supervisor, then it would seem that's the way things ought to flow. But you have to be pretty blind or have put your eyes and ears in some kind of barrel to not have seen what has gone down in this last election when management took control of the playing of cards and, in fact, took away the authority of the local election supervisor to sanction those programmers who chose not to play, who they wanted to play, when they wanted to play them. But check the record. Nancy, I hope they were screaming then. Last year, I made a prediction around this time, on this mic, saying that this management would attempt to do something to undermine the upcoming election with the intent of minimizing the exposure of those that they don't like and maximizing the exposure of those that they do. Now, management didn't have to step in. Management had no authority to take control of the playing of those courts. Now, a 500-word essay is a requirement by bylaws. I see you want to change rule. We love to change rules, but we have a problem enforcing the ones we already got on the books. Kind of like Republicans and Democrats arguing about gun laws right now. So, hey, if you just enforce the ones on the books, we'll be safer. Well, now we need to make more. Well, making this more is another example of, we used to do this covert influence election, create cartels, go out and recruit folk and run them and have side communiques, access to membership lists to mail out to certain members and this and this and that. But now we've decided to do it overtly. So my concern today is some of you may not give a damn. But there are some people who are members of this body who believe the integrity of a board election is one of the principal objectives of this organization. And I have every reason to believe that some of you are reasonably minded people. So therefore, it will be hard for you to see that this is not a conflict of interest. Second, I have done all that I could to withhold myself from legal proceedings because I agree. KPFT Pacifica, least it needs is more legal proceedings. But I didn't serve this country to protect your right to vote, my right to vote, to have one action of one or two individuals to undermine the will of 7,000 people. That's not the democracy I serve. That's not the democracy I believe in. And I really don't think it's worth it. Because if you just let the people have the truth, I think the people are cognizant enough and intelligent enough to make a decision about who is better or best to represent the organization. You don't have to rig the vote. You don't have to limit exposure to people in order to try to derive to the desired outcome. That's corruption by any stretch of imagination. Whether I like you or love you or whatever, it shouldn't matter about I'm going to undermine the authority and the integrity of this entity that Lou Hill created because I'm afraid that if certain numbers, and incidentally, if it was said or not, those of you who are on this board now, I know you're going to have to take time to get yourself acclimated, see what's really going on. It's like any new job, any new thing that you do. But after you do, and after you take those shutters out of your eyes, and you have to conclude that are you here to make a fair assessment? Are you here to make an objective assessment? Are you here to make your contribution based on the skill sets you bring to the table? And in so doing, you would have to look at the last 8 years of progress, or the lack of it, and say, am I going with my next 3 years? Am I going to help mark time? Am I going to help the status quo? Am I going to help things churn the way that they're churning? Or am I coming here to make it really an exciting and bigger thing than it is now? But you don't start by overlooking some fundamental infractions of basic human behavior. And our whole country is based on folk having faith in our institutions. So, I'm asking you, the board, to take a look at the allegations that have been brought forth for you, and I will put them in writing to the chair. And I have confidence that in lieu of any threat, veil, open, empty, real, unreal threat of legal actions, there's a lot more that can be done besides legal actions. You know, a lot of folk donate to this station because they believe it is the icon of free speech. They believe it is the pantheon of peace. But when you scale, you peel that banana. When you get to the bottom of it, and you hear some board members say, I wouldn't like for somebody. Well, that ought to tell you something right there. It ain't about you. It's about the entity. Not what you want, not what you think, not what your opinion is. That's the problem now. 24 different means and eyes is the reason why this station, in my opinion, in the fourth largest city in this nation, in the 10th largest market in this nation, is at the bottom of the arbitrage. And it's been at the bottom of the arbitrage. And there have been a window of opportunity for it to recreate itself and to become a conduit of action, innovation, motivation, organization of our community. There are two radio signals that we've practically been changed in the last few days, last few months, that KPFT could take some of that audience and translate that audience into their members. But I see no action. I see maybe you don't even know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
But ultimately, I'm saying to you, if you believe that we're going to be successful as a family of progressives, and yeah, I heard some people have a problem with that issue, but progressive simply means you're trying to take it further. You're not satisfied with what it is. That's all progressive means. So if you believe, if you're satisfied with where we are as an entity in this city, I see the potential of being so much more, so much greater. But we cannot continue doing what we've been doing, how we've been doing it, and expecting greater returns. So it's not my intent to cause any aspersions or to undermine anyone and fire anyone. That wasn't my job, wasn't my objective on the board. But my objective remains to try to do and push the envelope. And sometimes we ought to consider that it may not be in the best interest of the organization to protect an individual or individuals at the expense of the organization. And further, I'll say to you that nobody should have or expectation of a lifetime appointment to a job. There's no such thing, especially in radio. Radio is recreated. It's always having to recreate itself. And so what you must be able to do is, I'm talking to the newbies here, because I recognize some of the oldies pretty much stuck in their ways, and they're going to do what they're going to do. But to you newbies, some recruited, some came on your own. After you're able to really get your feet wet and you can really see, you start asking some of these financial questions that you're not going to get no answers for. You start digging real deep, and you start finding that in a 7 or 8 year period, how much real progress has been made. And in the next 3 to 7 year period, how much progress are we anticipating to make? Are we really going to be the pantheon of free speech in this market? Are we really going to be that place where people know they can come and get information, that it's an alternative for them, for the other standard bearers in the market? Or are we going to be satisfied with what we've been getting? And ultimately, I challenge you newbies to lay low, do what some suggest. Your job is just to raise money, which is as asinine as reading the requirements of the board. If you read your bylaws, you'll find that you have substantive requirements and substantive expectations that you're going to hold management responsible for implementing, for creating, and for moving the station from where it is now. That should really be your charge. But in the interim, the next 12 months, I come back and I see some of your new faces, and then you become old faces. I hope that you then will have more, a better feel of what your contribution will be to make this place what it ain't. I like to describe it as the little station that could but won't. But in this sense, I charge each of you with taking your time, reviewing what you're seeing, and make an assessment in a year and see whether or not you are part of the problem or part of the solution. Thank you.
Anybody who came in since Mr. Lark started speaking wants to speak? We have 12 minutes left. In the meantime, the chair would recognize the entrance to the meeting as a member of Dean Apollo's staff. Hearing nobody, we can continue then with our agenda. We were in the middle of the Pacifica National Board report. By my watch, there was 3 minutes to go at the time we suspended the discussion. So,
when you
George,
what was on the agenda, what we were talking about at that time?
No.
Anyone else want to speak to the management spoken?
PMB?
To the PMB report, right?
Yes. I would like to agree with some of the comments I made earlier regarding the language, and also it just seems a little somewhat subjective of some of the things. And for me, things like bigotry are just as much damaging as any other kind of criminal act. And I've witnessed what I've been numerous occasions of all different types of people. I'm not going to get into it, but of very subtle and very overt comments of bigotry, which ran off a lot of my volunteers. And that's just the ones that I know of that told me that, so far, they decided to go into Austin. Just from hearing their stories, they could. And so, those are things I think that the foundation and the station really needs to look into before something like that happens.
Before some of the patients can give an example of the drug, and it's hard to imagine that you fall. I think I'm worried if I just.
I can give you an example. I can give you an example on Jessica. I mean, just it's I don't know if it's overt or whatever. What's that?
Are we going to executive session?
No, I'm not going to say any names, but I know Jessica went to the station once, and then a person at the door wouldn't let her in, and she felt it was the way she looked, the reason that they wouldn't let her in. And I don't have to go into who said what. It's an example. If you want to know more, you can ask her.
There's always going to be multiple accusations of someone feeling like they have their toes stepped on, and a lot of times it's a fact that it happened, but I don't see why this all can't be reduced down to one line, you know, anyone who's been banned from the station, because if something's been as big enough an infringement, getting banned from the station, then obviously they should be on board. But there's always personality between people, all the time. And unless we want to start making a list of bigots and a list of the criminals and stuff like that, then I think it's kind of like what Eddie says, kind of subjective, you know, what we have written here.
Eddie, were you finished?
Yeah, I'm finished.
I can kind of see both sides of this. Just from my experience at KPFA in Berkeley, you have a lot of crazy people. And so a lot of crazy people would try and come into the station. And the station would do whatever it could. You want to be compassionate, but at the same time, you have to have some modicum of self-preservation. But so I understand that we need to protect ourselves from people who might be doing harm, especially since this station has been bombed. Twice. I mean, has had bomb threats twice. You know, the awareness is warranted here. But the only problem I have is that the number three is really wide open. And I feel that some people may use the language in what PMB has stated in number three to just X out people they don't like because they don't get along with them and say, oh, you were threatening to me. I feel uncomfortable with you. And I can just say this as a black woman on job site. Whenever white people would want to get rid of me because I was real with them, they would say, oh, I felt you created a hostile work environment. So I can understand both of it. So what I'm saying is let's tighten up this language a little bit, but let's keep in mind that we do need to protect ourselves from crazy people.
Wait a minute. This is a policy that has passed the DMV.
Yeah, it's already.
No.
Oh, okay.
It's already passed. Anyone else who hasn't spoken who would like to speak on this issue? We are charged with implementing it, however.
Well, I just want to point out a legal issue here. People are very confused about the law. All of the hate speech laws have been declared unconstitutional. You get to be racist. You get to say things like that. I don't agree with it. That's what the court has said. Now, can you bring a lawsuit? No, unless you're an employee. Then Title VII kicks in. So people talking about legal matters here, you really need to know what you're talking about, because you cannot sue someone for racist speech. It's been declared unconstitutional. Over and over, and every single hate speech law has been struck down. So, and that's because our court says, and our system of government says, and we should be able to say, women should be home barefoot and pregnant. Obviously, I don't agree with that, but you can say that. You can say women are incompetent to be in the workplace. I agree, but you can say that. So we're talking about lawsuits. We have to talk about what can and can't be done. Someone brings a lawsuit for saying, I don't like someone because they said something racist, unless they're an employee. Because in Title VII, if you're in the situation, that's different. But in terms of the threatening stuff, anyone who physically assaults someone should be off the premises for an extended period of time.
Sure.
That, and let me point something else out to you. I teach premises liability. The station can be sued for failing to take the person off the premises. Mm. Okay? We can be sued because we owe a duty of care to everyone in the premises. Whether they are an employee, or whether they're a guest speaker, whoever they are, if someone is known to have caused some kind of physical altercation on the premises, we have to get them off or else take a risk of being sued. And it's unreasonable to leave them on the premises. So that I just want to point out those couple things.
Okay. Darrell, how's it going? Darrell,
you
doing?
I'll pass.
Okay.
I have a side issue on the audit committee. Talked about the letter to management. Yeah. Is that the audit letter from the prior auditor that we don't have it?
Where is that?
On audit. They have not yet received the letter to management.
It's up to the chair.
Can we
ask that?
Easily 3 minutes
is left.
Can we go on?
There's a motion to set aside
the
first question.
Just trying to.
I've moved to extend the PNB report for 5 minutes.
Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Second.
Any objection? 5 minutes from 9:20.
Do we have an additional effort? Is there anything else we want to add to it?
Well, Jim wanted to finish that question.
Yeah, I'm just curious about the letter that's referred to in the audit section, the audit committee. We have not yet received a letter to management. Is that the audit letter from the prior auditor that says that the audit is complete, that we were waiting on that last fall?
Speak louder, please.
I'm not entirely sure. Teresa, do you know? Will you know?
Yeah.
Good.
We've not yet received the management letter from the FY 2011 audit. We should have gotten that
fall,
summer or something like that. And there was a dispute over paying the auditor. He's not going to pay. We're just waiting for it. Summer, this might have last week. It's likely to be sent out this week before, but we need to have the opportunity to look at it for this year. And then the FY12, which is underway, we have a little. They might have a preliminary version of the meeting, but the owner has to finish.
But we still don't have that letter for 11.
Well, second round, we're in.
With regard to the sponsor.
No. Well, actually, I recognize Maria. I'll get you.
Okay. Oh, okay.
First of all, I take issue with what the chairman said several minutes ago, and that is, he said this is a private organization. This is not a private organization. We're dealing with public media. We're dealing with a nonprofit corporate charter. We're dealing with laws that apply to accessibility to the media. And the mission and the purpose of this organization is to expand
accessibility to media to all sectors of the public. So I completely disagree with the statement that this is, quote, not a public organization. It's very much so in the service of the public, of all the public. Unfortunately, the public and all sectors, especially the demographic sectors in this particular region, are underserved by private media. And that is why there is, for instance, such specific portions of this statement and these policies put out by the PNP that pertain specifically to that, in fact, with regard to, say, for example, programming committee, that there be a task force established in order to look into programming for non-English students. But I just simply wanted to point that out, first of all. Second of all, I don't want us to turn a deaf ear to the statements that were made by Mr. Lark a moment ago. He brought up something that we will not, obviously it's not on the agenda right now to deal with, but it's a very important allegation that he's put forth, and that is that management usurped the authority of the local election supervisor in the scheduling and the monitoring of all the elections. But I'm going back to the PMP. The PMP says that there should be programming and there should be certain task force set up in such a way that it will allow the stations to accomplish their mission in expanding programming so that it does indeed reflect the needs of the underserved demographic sectors.
Let me say, if I... I would be interested if anybody's got any thoughts about how to do that.
Obviously, this has already been passed, then we obviously, it's incumbent on every single station, the five stations, to look at this part by part and see exactly what concrete steps we're going to do to implement it.
Let's see. Hank, and then Noel, and then Jim.
Okay. Time for the 5 minutes? Okay, I move that we do an additional 5 minutes.
Okay, is there a second?
Is there any objection to extending an additional 5 minutes? Yes, I have a major objection, and we have so much business to get to.
Yes.
I would like to limit an extension. I'd like to amend a friendly amendment to your motion to extend that we extend the time to only Harry from Hank, who was erroneously on the stack and not recognized. But we limit it to Hank and then we move on.
Jimmy Barron, did that amendment to Hank's motion to extend?
If you want to learn this with everyone,
I don't want to say something.
Yeah. Okay, four quick things. One is, Mr. White, I'm on the elections committee. Mr. Lark, excuse me. Lark, I want to tell you that I'm going to look into the election thing because of the way things happen. And I'm on the national committee for that now. Two, what she said is true because we're a publicly licensed radio station. We have the same obligation as every other radio station to the safety of everybody involved. Additionally, we're a nonprofit and we have a code of conduct that everybody should be willing to adhere to regardless. And if they don't, then they are in fact not members in good standing. So I think that a lot of this comes down to the point of, are we discussing this for local station approval?
No.
Next guy is the general manager.
Hey.
Hey.
All right. You've been sent a packet of information that includes on the back of my my written report some demographic information called the Vital Signs Report, and I'd like to just inform the former member of this body that KFT consistently out of the nearly 50 rated stations in the Houston metro area comes in about 29 or 30. So I take that personally as an accusation that KFT is at the bottom. That might be a personal issue. And I also just need to respond to some of these public comments that Duane threw out, because I heard these same aspersions cast across the people's airwaves, across this pantheon of progressivity. And I can't imagine another place that would allow a former member of the board, or a current member of the board for that matter, to get on and allege that the system that he was a hair's breadth away from returning to was somehow rigged to, I don't know, give Hank the one vote that kept him out. That whole thing is ludicrous on the face of it. I look forward to you making whatever asinine allegations you may post to the chair. I am just a quote.
We're not supposed to address the public comment. I'm
sorry. Excuse me.
This is a direct remember to use quote unquote when quoting people.
I am quoting here from the remarks made in public comment. This is not public comment.
Right, but you're not.
So, pardon me?
That's not the rule. The rule is that you're not supposed to address what the public says.
No, I'm sorry. The rule is that in public comment, there is no give and take. But if the agenda were being followed, public comment would not have even come up for these aspersions to be spewed for probably an hour after the general's manager's report should have occurred, were this agenda to actually follow its template that it never follows. So the fact that I happen to get a chance to finally talk here in my, I don't know, 14 and a half hour day long visit through KPFT to actually speak to this board, I cannot leave that pile unaddressed. So I'm saying that because that's my truth. When someone says that you're going to be conned or you're going to be rigged and that you should pay attention to being misdirected and told that your job is only fundraising, would that this LSB would take on the job of fundraising? It is one of the 13 things that you are tasked with, in addition to the one that seems to predominate, which is, at least in some people's wish, to be program director or general manager, perhaps. I don't know. But you are tasked with reviewing and approving a budget. You are tasked with a general manager search, should there be one, and I hope you get to have that experience someday. Maybe not as soon as others would like. You have the general manager review through the MSRC committee. You have a process to initiate to fire a general manager, which I think Ted has experience with and is even on this agenda that we won't get to.
It's inappropriate.
It's
totally inappropriate. It's not appropriate.
Why can everybody else have the right to free speech? And I don't understand this. You also have
the reason. I'm
sorry, this is the general manager's report. I didn't ask for a response.
You're asking.
That was a rhetorical question. I'm sorry. I forgot to use the quotes in the rhetoric. You do have, through the MSRC, the program director evaluation. That's job six. the collaborating with management in terms of programming, meeting the mission of Pacifica is the 7th. You have the job of conducting a minimum of 2 town hall meetings a year. You have the job of fundraising. You have the job of outreach. You have the job of the community needs assessment. You have the job to assure that we have a diverse staff. And you have the job to have care, loyalty, diligence, and conduct yourself with sound business judgment. Those are the 13 jobs you have. Okay? I just wanted to, for the newbies and the oldbies, I just wanted to reiterate, that's the job you signed up for the full-time job that you're not being paid for.
Mr. Chair,
and I,
Chairman,
this is the general manager's report, and we'll enter it.
I don't see it in the report at all.
I said that I have sent a comprehensive report, as I do every month, that includes a written report, it includes KPFT's vital signs report. And those 13 points are the job that you voluntarily offer to perform.
Those are that as part of the report.
Ma'am, you're out of order. I'm willing to show you in the bylaws that list.
So,
the budget.
In the couple of minutes left in this meeting, I would love to have a conversation or dialogue with those who are willing or able to have that about any ideas that you might have that actually in some concrete ways could help us get beyond being the living embodiment of Albert Einstein's definition of insanity. and I'm open to suggestions. And I mean that. I'm serious about that because I finished this 18-day marathon of many, many long days with many, many great people doing much hard work. And for the third large fund drive in a year, we've come up 20% short within a few, you know, micro dollars. But 20% short plus 20% short plus 20% short adds up to real money. It adds up to donor fatigue. It adds up to a lot of things that impact our ability to make a bigger difference in this community, to have a larger membership, to be making more of a difference in people's lives, in more of the community that's not even in this room. And so those are the kind of things that I would like your help with. I would like to hear your ideas on. And I don't want to continue this cycle of insanity, which is, well, we're 20% short. How are we going to make that $60,000 up? Oh, well, let's add a few more days to the next one and then expand this dysfunctionality again and again and again. It is proven at this point to me to be a non-working model, and I request your help in fixing it. One way, and I wish he were here, would be to take on wholeheartedly some fundraising in the form of, for one example, the June 3rd KPFT golf tournament, which we've made a few thousand dollars on the few times we've done it. But there are numerous examples of nonprofit organizations banking on a golf tournament. One of our programmers, through Children at Risk, does 2 fundraisers a year to help his organization. A gala, which this board at one point was going to do. We even built it into a budget one year. It never happened. And another one being a golf tournament. Those two things bring them about $250,000 a year. If we could do one of those two things, we could begin to grow in the direction I had hoped we would 11 years ago this month when I took this job, which was to grow from, at that point, 48 days a year of on-air begging to 28 days a year. And instead, this past year, we were at 64. We've gone the exact wrong way. And you can blame me if you want to put my face on it, Dwayne. And you all can. And I'll take whatever deserved hit that, you know, if this is the best that I've been able to create in 11 years, then maybe some people who have motions to fire me on this very agenda, maybe they're right.
You can't remove something that's been approved on an agenda.
So my question stands, who has a good idea on how to break this cycle of insanity that has us consistently going back into fund drives that are decreasingly effective because we are burning people out by going too long?
Leo, who sat silently, has raised his hand, so I would ask him to, if he has an answer to that question.
I have my own answer. Dwayne knows my answer. The MSRC knows my answer. Bob, you know my answer. And the station is only going to be able to raise money if it can increase the number of people listening to it.
Mm-hmm.
That is the first thing that has to happen. Nothing else can happen without that. And the people listening to the station have to like what they're hearing and feel attached to what they're hearing. It doesn't take a lot. It can be a couple of shows that someone's listening to. But they have to feel deeply invested in those shows to be able to take their wallets out. And so there's a very intricate interplay between the communities that we address and the content that we put on. In some sense, our airwaves need to be least, our broadcast airwaves need to be leased out to the communities that we want to serve. And we need to be looking at putting on shows that will attract and be proactive in going to put on shows that are going to attract those communities, whatever they are. That has to be a proactive effort to do it. It's no secret that to some of you that I think our general manager is an enormously talented person. Tremendously talented person. I think there's no person who has been more responsible for raising money for KPFT than Dwayne. I've seen it. Year after year after year, after 10 years of being on the air, and I can tell you, it is not easy to raise money for the station as a programmer. I didn't raise very much of it, but had my worst performance over this last fund drive. It's got me questioning my own viability on the air. So, you know, I feel this very acutely. But I think that, frankly, we need a full-time person working on what I consider to be a sales and marketing effort. We call it outreach right now, but outreach is a sometime thing. It has to be an everyday thing all day long. And I think somebody has to be meeting with the Kiwanis Club. Someone has to be meeting with the Rotary Club. Someone's got to be meeting with the Houston Arab American Club. Someone's got to be meeting with the Jewish Community Center every single day, five times a day, and talking to these groups and having lunch with them and saying, what can we do to get your group to listen to our station? What do they want to hear? Maybe there's a show that you all have in mind. Once a month? Once every 2 weeks? Our programming group stands ready to work with you to mold that show and design it. And then, when someone comes out of that community onto the airwaves at KPFT, the whole congregation is going to follow. Even if they're listening to just that one show, they're going to stick around probably, maybe, and listen to the show after that, the show before that. And to me, that's the plan that gets KPFT a much broader audience. Once you have more people listening, and they're invested in one or two shows, and they're listening, they're going to take their wallets out. But it's going to take a very competent sales and marketing person to begin to make those contacts. I think Dwayne's that person. Dwayne has been selling our station. It's his strongest skill. He's been doing it for 10 years. You come on, and every single time you go on, you do magic. It's where you're most magical. I can't think of anybody else to do that critical job. So I think Dwayne's skills are not well suited to getting down into the weeds within Logan Boulevard. That is just a very difficult job to do for anyone. And you've got to really want to make the trains run on time. It's that kind of mentality, you know. Bob's got it here running the board.
To that point, I need to point out that we have exceeded our time and have to take out something that's mandatorily required. The order of preference section, which is where we consider any hands in the next 15 minutes, those people that need to be taken over.
How do we do the discussion in the next session and figure out how to get the end up and move it out of order for us?
I second that, and I'd like to include those.
Where are we? Well, I know there's a lot of folks that would really complain about this. Changing the agenda should have been done at the beginning. I mean, I'm just saying. I'm not saying it's not important.
To suspend the rule and allow Mr. Proctor to requires a two-thirds vote, so. And it says that, is there any further discussion?
I'm going to withdraw the request.
I would like to hear him speak.
I'd like to hear him speak. In all in favor of the suspending the rules, allowing Mr. Crawford to make a late public comment?
11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, all opposed.
So the rules have been suspended, Ms. Proctor.
I just wanted to make a very brief response.
Come on, go to the
microphone. Yeah, get into the mic.
I just wanted to make a very, very brief response to the otherwise extremely well thought out comments.
Leo Gold.
Leo made earlier, but his initial comment, I do have to disagree with over 30 years of experience in public broadcasting. It's actually not true that you can have a flat or even diminishing audience and still squeeze more money out of that audience. You don't have to have a growing audience to have growing revenue. And you can see that example in the dying model of PBS, the prime example, where the techniques of squeezing money out of a decreasing audience over time has been raised to the nth degree. It's a very, very sad state, and it's not one that any organization wants to find itself in. Ideally, you do want to grow your audience, and so that's the ideal way to do it, but that's not the only way to do it. There are some bad, very, very bad examples in the business of where organizations turn inward and figure that our way is the best way, and what we're doing is could not be done better, and we're going to continue to just hammer at it, and for a while it works, but you can see the end game inside, and it's not a pretty sight. That's really all I wanted to say was that it is possible to be so self-absorbed as to be convinced that your way is the correct way. In the case, and I'm speaking in this case about specifically public television, PBS, which believes and they can't break out of their cycle of the way they raise money with their audience, and their audience is shrinking. They know it. But they have no idea what to do about it.
Is NPR also suffering the same consequence?
No. But NPR has NPR's solution to that conundrum is a slightly more radical one than PBS's. PBS's has been to sort of like the ostrich like stick their head into the sand. NPR's has been to adopt a I call it the quasi-commercial model, which moves to a highly formatted approach to broadcasting. Still non-profit. I won't say non-commercial. It is highly commercial, but it's non-profit. No pun intended. Well, actually, now it is non-profit. But it's built around a specific product, meaning the news, and a specific sound, which is carefully and very scientifically tailored to sound like NPR throughout the day. And that's something they've developed just over the past decade to extremely well focused that out of all of radio, in fact, commercial radio, non-commercial radio, etc., the NPR news format actually has the only upward rising, although it's slight, growth curve in audience. Everything else is either flat or tapering off, shrinking. Commercial radio, Pacifica, other non-commercial community stations, the NPR formats of music, classical music and so forth, are either flat or tapering off, but the news, NPR news does continue to grow slightly.
May I respond to Mr. Crawford?
Pardon?
May I respond to Mr. Crawford?
You may, of course.
Are you, I'm sorry, are you done?
That was actually, yes. I could.
It is my observation, this could be correct or incorrect, I have no idea, you'll maybe let us know, but that the socioeconomic wherewithal, those who listen to 90.1, is very different than the socioeconomic financial wherewithal of those who watch PBS and listen to 88.7. And
you're
so
wrong.
The ability for them to be squeezed.
No, you're absolutely
right. Fixed expenses to support
you sell, and very positively, you are wrong, but you're wrong in a very good sense. You sell the KPFT audience short. The demographic of this audience that listens to KPFT is very similar to that of KUHF and, for that matter, of PBS. It's younger, but demographically, in terms of the racial and the financial distribution, and there's a lot of wealth of data to back this up, it's very comfortable.
I'm surprised at that.
Well, perhaps so, but it's, believe me, it's true. Yeah, believe me, it's true.
Now,
excuse me, let me finish. It's not totally the same. The classical music people who listen to KUHA 91.7 do tend to tilt very old and somewhat, but not overwhelmingly, richer.
Where do you get your fingers from on the financial constitution of those who listen to the two stations?
Is it all
something we can have access to?
Do you have both the Arbitron and the ancillary data that's available? Not just Arbitron, but what's the other one? I've been out of it for a year, so the name eludes me.
Arbitron.
Yeah, there's a partner company with Arbitron that goes into more.
It's like our radio research consortium.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's where we get it. That's where this report that's on the back of your manager's report came from.
Yes. I don't see anything on income. Level of the survey.
It's supplementary material you have to pay for. It's not. You get basic reports and you get supplementary material.
Have you paid to get the detailed reports on KPFT's income distribution for our listeners?
You can.
But have you gotten that?
No.
And how do you know what our income level distribution is?
Because we know what the stations that share audience with KUHF are and KUHA, and KPFT is a highly shared station. Sharing is by its main cohort, in other words, the target audience is about 60% share.
But you've never seen actual Arbitron descriptions of the financial.
No. No, don't have to. I mean, if you share over 50% of your audience here, it's by definition it's going to be comparable.
Yeah, excuse me. I just wanted to say a few things since the manager's report. And I know we could all agree that if Dwayne is doing what he has to do as the manager to rally everyone together.
The other report is Scarborough. Scarborough, but it's not Scarborough.
If Dwayne's doing what he has to do to rile everyone up to 60 days a year to try to fundraise at the station, and as the station manager, he's keeping all the shows running, the new programs, and the program director put in order, actually doubled and tripled their goals. So what I see is that the management is working very hard to fundraise, and that the board, as a new member or potential member of it, isn't really doing a lot to fundraise at all. It seems like if each one of us had, like what Leo said, a connection to civic groups, to cultural groups, to particular music scenes or a particular political faction that we actually did specific outreach to as a board and as individuals of the board, we would have a much higher listenership and we'd have a lot more fundraising. And I don't think we can expect the person that manages the entire radio station to be able to do as much outreach as the board. And as that's one of the 13 tasks that we have, you know, is the fundraising. So I would like to be able to at least sit and compare what is the board fundraising versus what is the station fundraising with Wayne as manager.
Well, you know, when it comes to particularly the fund drives, some of the board members are part and parcel of what's going on with the fund drives by virtue of the fact that they answer phones on a regular basis, and you can't raise the money without answering the phone. It's a well-oiled machine in a way, and it is a big portion of all the money that we have, you know, in the first place. There are a few little fundraisers which are also programmers and board members are also involved with them that raise an additional portion of the money. We do have a person for fundraising particularly, and that's called development, and that's Robert. Outreach is another entity besides fundraising, but it should feed into fundraising as well.
Point of personal privilege, I have to get up at 5 in the morning.
Get up.
Mr. Kraft,
yeah.
I was on that problem. Mr. Kraft, unfortunately, I'm never the one who provides the motion that y'all are looking for at this time of the day. What we need to do is outreach and coming together and development now. For example, we have a Mucky Duck event coming up. No matter what the flaws are, and no matter what the racial breakdown some people may or may not have problems with, that event could go from being a $10,000 event to becoming a $30,000 event with the board's help. If everybody was to go get out there and promote the event, you know, come out to the Monkey Duck, pay your entry fee, which goes to KPFC, man the outreach table, and make sure everybody that goes to that event is a member of KPFC and not just a visitor. So we could gain membership and we could gain financial dollars through the entry to the event. We all need to promote that and pump that up, and pump up the golf tournament, and pump up PT's event, and pump up, and I pass my remaining minutes to Wayne.
I would just like to try and end on an up note and tie into something that Doyle and Hank said, Leo alluded to it, John, as well. Every person on this board is a representative of a constituent element in the tapestry that is this community. And part of my job is to work with every one of you. And I remember on February 2nd of 2002 when I accepted this job, I said, this board is the apostles of Pacifica, and you and I together need to find the lost tribes and the ones that didn't even know they were lost but are out there that don't even know we exist. And whatever your community is, I am willing, able, and wanting to go there with you. I can't go there alone, though I have gone to many alone. I challenge you, but I offer to you that we together can do this. But part of the outreach work, part of the apostleship is each of you are parts of communities. And whatever that community is, whatever those organizations you're part of, if my coming to give the KPFT golden speech is of value, then I would love to do that. But I can't know all of those things. That's why we're a community, and that's why we're here. And that would be something I would love to do, is to build that community together. It's the only way it's going to work.
So, thank you, Ben. I yield to Dwayne. I yield to Dwayne.
You did it. Your time is up.
Mr. Chair, I move that we adjourn.
Second.
Okay. Objection to the motion?
Yes.
But the non-member subject.
You don't know he's a non-member
he
yet.
He didn't declare vacant. We have to stand and declare he's back on.
Bill Rell said she gave you a message that said he was not, that would make him okay. Still a member.
I'm going to go over. I'm going to keep quiet.
I'm almost planned in favor of your.
I haven't.
No, we're having a vote. All of you are out there saying to me.
I haven't.
Anything.
I don't have the power to remove you from the meeting. So. All in favor of adjournment. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. All opposed. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. So the motion passes 8-6.
I like to go.
We are in adjournment.
I didn't count the votes right there.
What?
I like that.
I did count the votes. Even though I don't believe it to be valid.
Are you calling Darrell a liar? Is that what you're calling Darrell a liar?
No, I'm saying it was never in the minutes, and if someone wants to make a motion at the next meeting, yeah. Amend the minutes, then it's a non-meeting. That was the discussion we had, why we didn't do it today.
I got a very white.